Forte says he just spit the mouthpiece out. They're going to reverse the call. And here he comes to a hero's welcome in Sacramento.
The guy died on the cross and resurrected from the grave.
Lazarus.
What is happening?
All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith. Like Lazarus, died on the cross, rose from the grave.
Like Lazarus.
Lazarus, we are back.
I wish you had said Ra's al Ghul.
there are plenty, I guess, stories of resurrection.
Like Moses.
Neo.
Yeah, exactly.
Moses. Methuselah.
It's like, built an ark. Moses. I mean, I know we live in the Bible Belt, John and Chuck.
Played by Russell Crowe.
And so we do, you know, maybe we have more grasp on biblical stories than some. But
well, I think old boy started to say Lazarus before on
he
the
was
cross.
Thinking Lazarus. I think the cross was thrown out, and maybe
and he was probably trying to save him from making a
maybe
blatantly Judeo-Christian.
I know. Yeah, maybe the liberal media had told them you got to quit saying Jesus.
Say Lazarus quickly.
You better say Lazarus.
Talk about someone else in that book.
That cracks me up. We are back. We did not mean to take a whole week off. Our longest break.
Since
like July?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Look out.
Sorry, you guys.
But it's no big deal. We're back. We had Christmas break. Holiday break, as the producer mayor just told me to say.
Keep it secular.
Christmas break. But we're all back. John and Chuck joining me in the baby dungeon.
Hey, now.
How are you guys?
He's a one-man war on Christmas.
He is. He's got an arsenal.
Keith Richard Dawkins Parish.
Who hangs out with teetotaling Church of Christ members along the holiday.
I know we don't like to talk theology much. So I'm at a Church of Christ service.
Oh.
Which, you know, all right.
How's the music?
I have, they're good singers.
There's no music, brother.
No.
No dancing, no music.
There's no,
they chant.
There's no instrumentation. So there's singing. However, and maybe some of our Church of Christ listeners can let me know.
One
apparently, so I'm a piano player.
Right.
Pianos are illegal, you know, in their worship services. It's totally fine. Like, you know, everyone can worship however they choose. However, we watched a music video that used beatboxing because it's okay because it's the voice.
Mouth hole.
But the beatbox was like auto-tuned.
Ooh.
And like totally like reverb focused to sound less like drums or less like the human voice. So I'm like, okay.
Now we're
auto-tuned reverb music videos are okay?
Oh, yeah, huh?
Brian Eno will tell you the studio is an instrument.
I was saying, well, you can make a synthesizer where the only audio, whatever, material is human voice. What's the difference? You can turn it and make it sound just like a piano.
Yeah.
So my thought was like, if I made a piano out of a living human, that's okay, right?
Might be onto a big money idea in the Church of Christ circle.
The synthesizer? Well, then you could do the whole thing where you could create all these synthesizers.
Amen.
that are just based on human voice patches, and then you sell a bunch of them, and then it's like Soylent Green. You're like, guess what? Nope. Like, that's an actual simple sampled piano. And everyone's like,
got me.
Anyway, that's...
Being gay is immoral. Just the press of a key. Got it.
So that was our theological aside. Even before breakfast. I'm sorry. I'm excited we're back together.
Yeah, I know. Hey,
tell me about you guys. What did you guys do over the Christmas breaks?
Well, my best breakfast.
Oh, sure. Let's wrap the breakfast into it.
We definitely need to go over our Christmas breakfast lot.
Yeah, so Chuck, what was your best breakfast?
I went to the Biscuit House, boys. Here's the thing about the Biscuit House. Nashville Biscuit House, greatest biscuits outside of Loveless Cafe in the greater Nashville area.
I told you I can dispel the myth.
What myth?
They just microwave them.
At Biscuit House or Loveless?
Biscuit House.
For real?
Yeah.
I've heard.
I didn't know that.
I haven't been to the Biscuit House. I've heard I heard it's one of the least efficient serving of foods you can have. You just stand in line just because it's like poorly laid out. There's plenty of room.
Yeah, probably.
No,
I always go through the drive-thru.
Yeah, no, I like to sit in there because I enjoy posters that are of Coca-Cola products from the 70s.
Yeah.
That's my favorite kind
Rosie
of
Rosie the Riveter drinks Coca-Cola.
So it's like a more up-to-date Cracker Barrel?
Effectively, with, less, better hash brown casserole. I don't think they have a hash.
Nobody
brown
can touch the Cracker Barrel. That's better. Hash brown.
Oh, the HBC.
They put, I think that's they my put next like, tattoo. What's that stuff they put in Chinese food?
MSG.
MSG.
They put MSG in the hash brown.
Everybody put MSG. It's great. Mm. You should always cook with MSG. At Madison Square Garden.
So your best breakfast was the...
Yeah, I went to Biscuit House. I had my traditional home fry plate, and they cover it with like cheese and eggs. And then I was like, hey, why don't y'all give me a side of country fried steak?
Oh, no.
Put it on me. It was great. It was a wonderful breakfast.
Is it truly a side, or did you just order an additional entree?
No, they will give you a side of meat.
Okay.
For... $4.50 I think. For I mean, chicken fried steak.
Is it like half? Bad. Is it like half of a country fried steak?
No, it's a whole big old cutlet.
Wow.
Yeah, it made me happy. That was my best one. Put that, Louisiana hot sauce on it. Biscuits, gravy. Yeah.
It was love me some Louisiana hot
food-gasm
sauce.
Foodgasm.
The best.
John, what was your breakfast? And what was your?
Well, the reason we didn't podcast is I spent most of the week in either a retirement home breakfast or hospital breakfasts.
Mm.
So the only good breakfast I had this week wasn't that great. It was just some bacon, scrambled eggs, but my sister put spinach and balsamic vinegar in it, and I know that sounds kind of weird.
In the eggs?
In the scramble, and it was pretty, pretty good.
Spinach and eggs go well together because spinach will hold when you cook it, but it doesn't overwhelm on the flavor side, and it's good protein. You're looking to, bulk up.
I probably said it before in the podcast. I am the only fat person in the history of my family, so my sister eats very healthy. So the bacon was just for me.
Mm.
And she made me so many pieces of it because she just assumed that someone of my girth needed that many pieces of bacon. I ate them all as my family watched.
That sounds that's familial love. Yeah. that's what the holiday season is all about.
Did you get Lipitor in your stocking?
Oh, man. I made so many Lipitor jokes that my old lady cried at. I started making jokes about each present. They made me play Santa. My dad finally has given up and won't get up and pass around the presents. So they made me Santa. So I just kept shaking every present and be like, I think this is a FedEx package of weed. So I was making Robert Parrish NBA jokes, even when not podcasting.
My best breakfast, I had a blueberry coffee cake. Oh, man. Delicious,
That seems right in your wheelhouse.
I would say the most notable breakfast was a bad breakfast where one of our lovely relatives left sticky buns. Like, here's some sticky buns.
Yeah.
Except she said, hey, here's this, here's some sausage roll breakfast. Okay, that sounds good.
I deal with
and then,
that.
Like, walking out, I was like, it's like sticky buns. So, like, I was like, what is that? Those seem mutually exclusive to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we did. We heated it up the next morning, and it was like a sugary sticky bun
with sausage in it,
with ground up sausage. And I have
ground up what now?
Maybe I am not. You guys know I have the taste buds of a child.
Yes,
but I don't like mixing my sugaries and
your meats
and my meats.
No, see, that's an old standard in Miami. We get the pastelitos,
right?
So you get the the meat, and then it's basically like a baklava kind of pastry, fluffy phyllo dough esque. With some honey sugar drizzled on top of it.
I can mix them when done correctly. That sounds done correctly.
Right.
What Keith described was a horror story. That's the next season of American Horror Story.
That's why I don't mess. Well, I don't mess with the McGriddles.
It was compared to a McGriddle.
Trash.
My brother-in-law said, this is McGriddle-esque.
Yeah.
That's the vernacular of Keith's family.
But the syrup and McGriddles. The sausage.
How about
no, that's how they just communicate to me.
my roommate, he made some cinnamon buns, and he put Benton's bacon on top.
Oh, see that actually sounds amazing.
It was insanely good. And he cooked some of the cinnamon
rolls. Can you describe that to me in McDonald's terms?
Yeah, it's basically a McFlurry with bacon in it.
Oh!
With a McRib in it?
With a McRib on the side.
McFlurry with a McRib.
I will be.
Shout out Joseph RoboCop Ash.
Did you guys get anything good, though, for Christmas?
Oh, man, I'm a single dad.
Do you even get Christmas? You don't get Christmas
anymore. Do people without wives and girlfriends even have Christmas?
Well, I'm kind of dating this girl, and she got me a card game called What Do You Meme?
Oh, Jesus.
It's basically Cards Against Humanity, but with meme pictures instead of stupid sayings.
Oh, God. Can you return that?
No. I'd like to keep it.
No, you don't.
Well, I'd like to keep her. She's going to check.
It's probably a sound strategy.
Yeah, like you don't. Yeah, no.
Maybe you could lose
Keep the card game.
Oh. She even got me the expansion pack.
Maybe you can be robbed by like seven men with nunchaku.
What if you return it, but you actually take some of the cards out and just strew them about your home?
Yeah, just like randomly. Like oh, look, we were going crazy here last night playing. What do you mean?
Here somewhere. Yeah.
No, that was
So is it just like, I'm assuming it's like 52 cards of Crying Jordan Face.
It's like Crying Jordan Face, Angry Cat, you know.
You know, you should save that.
Is this,
like,
is this real life?
For 50 years.
Yeah. For 50 years.
And it'll be worth the money as like some sort of relic.
I already opened it, so it's
that's
already
fine. It'll actually probably be currency in 50 years.
That's right. Meme currency.
Paper will be currency.
Did you get anything good, John? Among these presents,
I got a new. The people at home can't see this, but I got a new medallion.
You got a new amulet.
Yes, this one has powers.
This one is very never ending story.
Wards off.
I'm a wish dragon.
Wards off zombies. What does that one do?
I'm not sure yet.
It might be. Does it contain the blood of Christ?
I'm hoping it can reinvigorate Chandler Parsons.
That's our first NBA reference of the show. Bone Bruise Chandler Parsons is maybe the worst NBA player.
Do you want to know what I heard?
What's this?
He has played less minutes than he has posted Instagram posts.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Season.
Yeah. No, I think he has a boner bruise.
Like 89 Instagram posts and played 47 minutes all year.
His
kind of great.
It's really sad when you're playing the Magic and when Jeff Green comes in, you're like, man, I kind of wish we had Jeff Green instead of Chandler Parsons right now.
Jeff Green kept that game, that Magic Grizzlies game, within 30.
Oh. Yeah.
If Jeff Green hadn't played, it would have been 50.
I had the second half line, and I was watching it with a couple of buddies at a sports bar, and it looked like we were going to lose the second half line also.
Right.
As we were already getting crushed on the first half, the game line, and then they put in Jeff Green. I looked at my two friends and went, guys, I think it's going
to
be all right.
I think Jeff Green was the only Magic player to miss more than two shots in the first half.
Jeff Green would grab the ball and just run out of bounds repeatedly in that game. Like, not dribbling, like carrying it like a football, cradled under his arm, run out of bounds.
It was hard to tell who was shaving more points, him, Chandler Parsons, or Vince Carter. No. Vince Carter, in his probably last game in Orlando, treating it like a Kobe retirement tour.
Mm-hmm.
He did
shooting everything every time he touched it, not hitting anything.
He did get up and swat a Bismack Biyombo shot, though. He got up there.
Vince. Yep.
Anyway, we're off. I was going to say, I got some nice Stance socks. Some
Stance?
Yeah, the company. They are not a sponsor of the podcast, but you know, I might hit them up.
This is second day in a row I've heard about Stance socks.
There you go.
Our buddy, he owns 15 pairs of them, and that's all he uses.
Yeah, so we're going to try to get them to be a sponsor, so it's not giving more free airtime. No, but they're pretty nice.
I figure since you have a kid, you don't get presents really anymore, right?
I would say my in-laws love Christmas, and it's just a overwhelming avalanche of presents.
I don't even remember what I got for Christmas.
They just give gifts and gifts and gifts. It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's super fun.
Being weed-dealing Robert Parrish Santa made me not notice what I got.
Hmm.
I was so focused on making sure I was, like, not giving the same person a present, two presents in a row.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Santa's a hard job.
No, that sounds like you did really good at it.
That's good.
That's an important part of it. All right. After our breakfast and our random Santa talk, we move to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I'm sorry, and I probably haven't talked too much crap about old NBA players, but in the past few days, it's been wonderful to see players such as Richard Jefferson, the aforementioned Vince Carter, going in like it's the early aughts. Jefferson with two monster dunks in the Cavs.
Dunk of the year.
Win, probably.
With a wink.
Winked on got that weird technical for no reason.
Awful. That's the only foul call against the Cavs that entire game. Fun fact.
You guys are just citing NBA games I haven't seen.
Oh, you haven't? Oh. You didn't see Cavs Warriors?
I didn't see. I saw the last minute of Cavs Warriors.
That was probably the only.
It was pretty good. I felt very fortunate to put it on.
Yeah.
That was a great game.
Yep. But Richard Jefferson dunked twice, once on Clay and once on Durant, and it seemed ridiculous.
So let us set the stage for you, Keith. Dunked on Durant ferociously. Durant falls to the ground. Richard Jefferson winks at him. Durant laughs. They teed up Jefferson.
Just for no reason. It was fun.
And the only way you can even see that wink is if you, like, The next day, watched a Deadspin Zapruder film. I mean, it was one of the. But it was
like shaky.
The refs were so bad in that game. It was the only foul against the Cavs. It was so bad. Like Durant on the last. You saw the last play of the game.
I saw the last play.
Was fouled by the aforementioned Richard Jefferson. But then Richard Jefferson dunked on Klay Thompson. It was even better. Dunked on everyone.
Richard Jefferson did the old man step on the guy's foot last 3 seconds. Refs aren't getting that one.
No, and the refs, they screwed the pooch. The NBA has said that game against the Cavs, with Cavs and Warriors, the refs blew 2 calls in the last 2 minutes in favor of the Cavs.
They were mild.
Nah. No, the LeBron hanging and swinging on the rim.
Hilarious.
I love it, but it's a tech, and they didn't call it.
That must have been with the wink. The wink must have been makeup tech.
A makeup tech for that, perhaps.
I'll kind of stay in the same vein, but on a more serious note, a more Christmassy note, I am haunted by the specter of Podcast Pass.
Oh, no.
One of the earliest podcasts, I kind of like got cornered like a rabid dog and like viciously defended Rajon Rondo, who might be okay. Rajon Rondo this month has taken 5 free throws and missed 4 of them.
I do remember this throwback to season 1,
dude. I still think about it. I don't really remember most of the podcast. I still think about that time where I defended Rajon Rondo, because I'm saying things, and while I'm saying them, there's an internal voice in my own head that's going, John, you don't even believe what you're saying.
That must be what Skip Bayless has to live with every day.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what are you saying? Like, I've always hated Rondo. Never thought Rondo was good. I don't know what I was doing. But he's so bad now that, like, Bulls fans are clamoring for Jerry and Grant.
Carter Williams.
How do you play that many minutes and only take 5 free throws? And he's not playing in the fourth quarter. And he, by the way, he's only made 1 of those free throws.
I mean, 2 years ago, as you're citing, first year of our podcast, I think, believe Chuck came in with the stat in January or February, like, what have we done as many times as Rajon Rondo? And it was make a free throw. Like, he hadn't made a free throw in a month in the NBA.
No, he's such a strange player. He's, you know, kind of, I guess he's smart. In the sense that he's in his own head.
He's fearful.
And he has this, like, he was gifted this wonderful team that he was a point guard for when he played in Boston early in his career. That was...
I thought he was going to say Sacramento.
when he actually had a chance of winning a ring and they were actually in contention and all of his plays mattered.
Oh, I remember people being like, he might be better than the big three.
I mean,
he was doing like triple doubles with 30 points. Yeah. You know,
he was, and there were times when the Heat played the Celtics in the playoffs, those last years of the big three, he looked incredible.
Yeah, it was LeBron versus Rondo.
It's what it was.
Like, that was the way it was kind of
assumed. Like, they even went, like, Dwayne Wade went out and put a hit out on him and broke his elbow in that one game.
Have coaches understanding advanced analytics ever hurt a player more than Rajon Rondo?
I think what it is, he just doesn't care if he's not on a contender, you know, or playing in a game that matters, nationally televised against LeBron or something. Because he went off against Cleveland.
Yeah, but early national TV, like, Rondo's dead too. Like, he didn't that in the big game.
Well, now he's hated again. He's got locker room beef.
You can only beat someone at Connect Four so many times before they turn against you.
The funny part is he's a free agent because he signed a 1-year. He's getting paid $13 million or something this year.
And he's going to China.
He will get signed by somebody next year. Funny part. Like someone's
Suns.
Like
Suns will get another point guard.
That's probably true. They'll make a weird 2-year $30 million deal. My apology, my breakfast in bed apology, very similar to years and years of abuse. Derrick Rose.
Boy.
All right, Chuck, let me give you a player A, player B.
I hate him.
I can throw in 3 people.
Okay.
All right. Player A, these are per 36. Player A is averaging 21 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds on 43% shooting. Player B is averaging 20 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds on 46% shooting. Player C is averaging 18 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds on 43% shooting.
If one of them is in Goran Dragic.
No, actually none of them are Dragic. One of them is Mike Conley. One of them is Jeff Teague. One of them is Derrick Rose. Mm. So, again, as
three players I hate recently.
As an audio format, this is incredibly difficult to comprehend.
It is. But I can't even see it in my head.
Derrick Rose.
This is the audio equivalent of that Busta Rhymes rap that's impossible to understand.
I mean, just per game right now, Derrick Rose is shooting 46% from the field, 17.1 points per game, 4.4 assists, 4 rebounds. His defense is still bad. The advanced numbers still don't like him. But the Knicks are look to be, you know,
a first round.
A playoff team. You know, like they're I think they're fifth in the East right now. Mm-hmm. They're above 500 when almost every other East team is not above 500. But so like Jeff Teague is shooting 42.6% from the field, 30% from three. Derrick Rose is shooting 4% better than that. And, you know, 25% from three. So very similar offensive numbers, assists more for Teague. But the fact that Derrick Rose...
It makes you feel better. Jeff Teague's having a terrible year.
Jeff Teague is having a terrible year. Mike Conley's having a really good year, and even right. his still overall stats. Conley's shooting way better from three, but well, still the
will it make you feel better?
Stats.
Will it make you feel better if I tell you that when Derrick Rose dominates the ball and takes a lot of shots, the Knicks suck?
That is still true.
Yes.
It is still true that that team needs to get Porzingis the most shots, and Derrick Rose still every game says, hey, you know, like, I'm going to just keep shooting.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep shooting. So, but... My apology is Derrick Rose is not being one of the worst NBA players this season, which I have pointed out. Like he was,
I'd rather
he was
have Derrick Rose than year. Dennis Schroeder.
Dennis Schroeder is not having a great year. Although
haircut, would
you
be
sent, you sent that text out worse finisher than Tony Allen.
Right, right.
Oh my God!
Shots within 5 feet. Tony Allen has a better field goal percentage than Dennis Schroeder and Isaiah Thomas. So
that's when it's time to commit seppuku.
Yeah. I do see. It's funny that I think it's a Brad Rowland. Keeps tweeting all these RPM numbers related to Schroeder, and someone on Christmas was like, all these stats are making this site unusable for regular fans. I thought it was really funny. Anyway, so my breakfast and bad apology goes to Derrick Rose, who is not bad.
Serviceable.
Someone will give him a huge contract. All right, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we move to our steak and eggs best things, I want to tell you guys about Loot Crate. Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles? Well, Loot Crate brings you between 4 to 6 of the coolest curated mystery items every month straight to your door. It's the best surprise you know is coming. The January theme is Origins. We have awesome and exclusive items from your old school favorites. See where it all started and explore the iconic Origins with historic items featuring Superman, Captain America, Mario, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And as always, the monthly t-shirt and pin. So go to lootcrate.com/fastbreak and enter the code FASTBREAK to save $3 off any new subscription today. All right, steak and eggs, best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last 11 days or 10 days or whatever it was?
Granny style free throw in an NBA game.
Onuwaku.
Shinanu Onuwaku. Throwing that thing Rick Barry style. That warms the cockles of my heart. He's like Jackie Robinson now. Imagine the abuse he's taking for shooting it that way. Getting him up to a practically Drummond-esque 54%, which for Onuwaku is pretty amazing. But I respect the bravery. And it makes the Rockets even more fun, and the Rockets are inexplicably fun after years of being horrible to
inexplicably
watch.
Inexplicably fun. That dirty Patrick Beverley, I kind of love him.
He's incredible.
They've been amazing since he started playing.
Yeah. Harden looks like... I mean, that's an MVP candidate. If there isn't one in the league, it's him. He's looking ridiculous. What is he at, like 12 assists a game still?
It's ridiculous.
I don't count raw stats unless I'm looking at Derrick Rose.
Well, my best of the week was last week, Kyrie Irving throwing super shade against the Milwaukee Bucks when asked about them and facing them possibly in the playoffs. Kyrie says, I hope they're a great young team. It'd be great to go 4 games against them.
That's
pretty awesome.
Kyrie's
on fire.
Slowly becoming one of my favorite interviews in the league. What did he do last night?
Cavs just sucked.
They just stunk.
Well, Kyrie and Kevin couldn't get it going.
LeBron was out on Monday night when LeBron sat down.
They deserve that. They're probably all hungover anyway. But yeah, I like the Kyrie's. His smack talk is reaching up to his gameplay on the court.
What's a better shot, the one that beat the Dubs or that?
That Dub shot was pretty.
Whew.
He's one of those guys now. I doubted him for a long time.
I did too.
I thought that he wasn't, an elite player. At least you guys
didn't say that he was worse than Rajon Rondo, which is exactly what I said, and it still haunts me in a Dickensian fashion.
No, I remember last season in the finals, because Kyrie went off. I think he had like 30 something.
Didn't he have 40 in the first two games?
Yeah,
or something?
Yeah. He went off first two games, and I was like, no one's gonna remember because by that point the Cavs or the Dubs were up 3-1. I was like, nobody's gonna remember these games because
they're gonna lose,
and nobody remembers.
We talked in the show about how his entire career narrative had changed, because when you score 40 points in the finals, now that's a thing.
Right. Now you're a person.
Before he hit the game-winning, game seven, game-winning three.
Yeah. So he's now reached that next level where if he continues and doesn't remain, doesn't become the, injury ridden player that has bothered him in the beginning of his career, you're talking about probably a Hall of Famer, and, if he keeps this up for six or seven more years, which is kind of surprising considering the way he played early on before LeBron came.
Which, of course, if you swap out LeBron for Boogie Cousins, he's still terrible.
Shots fired. Hot take.
Well, that's kind of that's kind of my thing.
Still picking.
On Boogie. However, my best thing, my steak and eggs best thing, is Boogie Cousins.
And Joel Embiid.
As we talked about. Oh, no, so that's a funny clip from the Sixers-Kings game where...
Just smacking each other on the butt.
Yeah, if someone hadn't taken it... listeners will be shocked to know that our Bon Mots and Baroque banter is not scripted. I just assumed that everyone was going to take Joel Embiid and Boogie Cousins slapping that ass over and over and over again.
It was pretty
like
fun.
A rap video. So I was giving y'all that layup, but I'm going to have to throw in a second one. Yeah. Make sure you watch that video.
Oh, it was pretty great.
Of those I'm actually two surprised. I mean, I know the NBA is not the NFL, but I am surprised they weren't given techs.
Yeah.
Just for like guys,
NBA is getting close to getting like the NFL.
No fun league. You can't be grabbing. Can't be grabbing that much
playing
ass.
Grab ass.
Yeah. No, I was going to throw it back to our opening. My favorite thing was that Boogie Cousins, the 55 point, the spitting the mouthpiece in Myers Leonard's face, which he absolutely spit the mouthpiece in the guy's face. The way the NBA has drawn that back. But that game, just the combination of died on the cross, rose again, Lazarus. And then Boogie I think he's the first guy ever. He had 55 points, 10 over 10 rebounds, 5 made threes.
Yeah.
Like that never happened before.
He's a monster.
So that was exciting. And as I'll talk about a little later in the Scattered Smother Covered, the Kings might be okay. So,
Jaeger. That Jaeger juice.
Yeah. Got that goatee dribble.
Don't worry, Rudy Gay's back. They'll suck again soon.
They got to move him.
Remember, they got good during his little hip flexor problem.
All right, so what's the opposite of that? What's the opposite of steak and eggs? What is your cream of wheat worst of week?
Man, Jeremy Lin got healthy for about 14 and a half seconds.
Yeah. Down again.
But I have... That's the worst, is Lin's sanity's never coming back. Let's get into Kilpatrick... Opathy. Let's embrace someone different than Jeremy Lin.
I think that was the guy who made my first communion.
Right.
For me, Father.
It's a disease. Kilpatrick. It's a disease and an Irish person. I mean, Kilpatrick's been great for him. I mean, sometimes it takes him a million shots to do so, but I think we're going to have to move past Jeremy. He just can't stay healthy. And when he's come back, he hasn't been that good.
You're giving up on Jeremy Lin in December?
I am.
How dare you?
I guess it's a little late, isn't it?
That's another.
I should have done it. When did Linsanity happen last year? Was it December?
Oh, the original Linsanity?
Yeah, the original.
Or was it November?
That was January.
It was January?
Yeah, because I was living in New York when that happened. I'd moved there in January, and right after I got there, he blew up.
Man, I just went to New York not too long ago. You still see Jeremy Lin jerseys?
Yeah, no, he's...
Still see him.
Yeah.
Not Brooklyn Nets Jeremy Lin jerseys.
He's a popular guy.
He blew up.
I love Jeremy Lin. He was my sixth man of the year last year. He just can't stay healthy any longer.
No.
And the Nets are respectable at home. even without Jeremy Lin.
Brolo, Bubba.
Close to 500.
Well,
your boy Kilpatrick and, yeah, Brolo and Trevor Booker.
Yes.
The full utility man doing everything.
The good Booker in this league.
This is for you Nets fans. We haven't talked about you guys.
Yeah, that's right. Five of you.
Rather have Trevor Booker on my team than Devin Booker. Look out.
Hot take. I'll remind you of that later.
Well.
It's OJ Mayo Lite.
That's right. Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip.
Devin Booker just got three fouls in the span that we talked about him just now.
Yeah.
I will say Devin Booker is starting to spread the ball around a little more.
Good for him.
Still a complete sieve on defense, but you know, he's starting to get some assists, starting to look for some players.
Yeah, better.
I wonder who fouls faster, Devin Booker or Marquise Chris?
Jamichael Green.
Jesus. I can't even watch Jamichael Green. He was having a statistically great game yesterday. He's making me spew bile everywhere. It's just mindless on the court.
My worst, we haven't talked about it, but Craig Sager. Oh, Craigie boy. One of the greatest fashionistas in the history of the NBA.
Hell yeah.
A solid sideline interview. Wonderful person to interview, Greg Popovich.
Absolutely.
Truly one of a kind.
Used to be
broadcaster.
Was on Georgia Championship Wrestling briefly.
Was he?
Have some of that.
A little insight. Now he's no longer with us. Craig Sager has officially passed away, and I think we needed to mention him because he was a kind of a silly
one of the guys
NBA
who made
figure.
NBA fun.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. It was fun to wonder what he was going to wear on any given big game where he was interviewing people on the sideline doing a job he probably didn't want to do.
Now we're stuck with Michael Wilbon's terrible sweaters.
Oh, and Israel Gutierrez's weird white hair. He looks like Cisco.
I will refrain from commenting on Israel Gutierrez because it will get bad quickly.
My worst thing is, speaking of other ESPN personalities, Amin Alhassan, who I kind of like his shtick.
Whatever.
I like him.
Like, yeah, I like him.
He's the garbage man of Twitter.
So I enjoy him. He has a Seriously How's It Going shirt. He hooked us up early in our Twitter days by a little retweet, got a bunch of follows, kind of set us up on Twitter.
He's a good guy.
He only watches like four teams.
However, he had a Memphis Grizzlies take that I wanted to talk about. I actually wrote something about this on one of our fan-sided posts that the editors thought it wasn't worth the one sentence of talking about him. When on the low post...
Fear. Culture of fear. Fear mongers.
On the low post, when he was asked, Zach Lowe's like, it's been 6 years of the Grizzlies outperforming their win expectations based on their point differential. They keep winning close games. How do you explain it? To which he said, it'll catch up with them. They'll lose in the playoffs.
Jesus.
How is that an analysis?
Just say nothing next time.
Yeah, just say, like he's like, you look at their playoff success, they get blown out. That's not true.
Yeah.
Every one of their series outside of the Spurs Western Conference Finals was a 6 or 7 game series. Yeah. Like they, you know, they're all competitive. So it was really strange. And then saying like, yeah, they're not going to win. Are they going to win the title? It's not the point.
His tweets have devolved into fart noises and making fun of people's Twitter pictures.
Yeah, he did get reprimanded that time for making fun of an autistic kid who liked wrestling.
The Trump correlations are there. That's all I have to say about this man.
I was bummed out. It will catch up to them. They'll lose eventually. It's like, yes. Like, hey, Donald Trump's having a good run. He will die eventually. You know. We will all... It'll catch up to us all eventually. Anyway.
I got a backup worst.
Oh, what's your backup worst, Chuck?
Kevin Durant can't beat LeBron James. He is 4-17.
That's kind of awesome.
In all of his games ever played, including the finals, against LeBron James.
Well, it's like, and also Russell Westbrook hasn't beaten LeBron in a long time.
Basically, they can't. LeBron is the older brother bully who has gotten into their heads, and I think that's where mostly the advantage for the Cleveland has against Golden State this year is that they beat up demolished a 3-1 lead with the help of a crappy technical foul on. Draymond got kicked out of a game in the NBA Finals, which kind of changed the tide for them last year. But I think LeBron is just psychologically crawled into the brain spaces of Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, and he's living there now.
You're overthinking this. He's just real good.
Well, I mean, but that's part of it. That's how he got there, by being a dominant mastermind who almost beat when he didn't have Kevin Love and Kyrie, almost beat the Warriors by himself 2 years ago in the finals. You know, it's a great, wonderful, awful thing. And Kevin Durant, please kill Eggs Benedict for me.
Poor Chuck.
I can't stand watching.
Triple overtime, double secret probation, worst of the week. Christmas Day uniforms.
Oh, all of them were awful.
I felt like they looked good up close.
Maybe.
The Spurs looked good. But, I liked theirs.
Because that weird S?
Yeah.
But Cobra S.
And it was black on gray, like kind of seemed evil empire-y.
I feel like they all seemed fine when you looked at them up close, but as a whole, when you watched the game, I thought it looked horrible.
Like Rec League stuff.
It really looked like Rec League.
Yeah.
So we've transitioned into our Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts. I had a couple people contact me recently, have no idea what we were talking about on that title of that section.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
It doesn't matter.
Look it up.
Look it up. Hassan Whiteside, Waffle
there's
House.
There's only like 300 hours of our podcast for you to comb through to hey, find out what it means.
Hey, Keith, ask me about like a team that doesn't get covered that much.
On our show?
Yeah, just in general. Like a team that probably
we never talk about the Hornets.
I talk about Steve Clifford all the time.
Yeah, that's not true. Just ask me about him.
I would say, what about maybe the Pacers?
Don't worry, they'll lose in the playoffs. Go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. Oh, like the it looks like the Celtics are kind of rounding into form.
Don't worry, they'll lose in the playoffs.
will it catch up to them?
Are my Twitter followers going through the roof?
They are. Yeah. You're blowing.
Hey, Chuck, you look like you have a disability.
Oh, dude.
Oh, easy.
And do you like wrestling? You have a wrestling disability. Ask me about another team.
What about the Jazz?
Let me. Okay. Well, the thing about the Jazz is that they will lose in the playoffs. Check my. How's my Instagram doing?
I gotta say though,
blowing
John.
Up, bro.
Amin does it slightly more entertainingly.
Well, I mean,
a little more verve in the voice.
Yeah,
little more.
Are you using coded language against me right now?
Exactly. So speaking of teams we don't talk about a lot, I'm looking at the standings and I can't figure out who's good. As in, which teams we feel comfortably are in the playoffs. I feel like there's like 10 teams. For a while there, I was thinking the Bucks had gotten into the, are they like a top 12 team?
And then they lost four in a row.
Yeah, and so now they keep losing, and like the Wizards are actually having one of the better stretches.
Yep.
Like, despite their awful bench. Like
Otto Porter.
They're winning. Otto Porter's been incredible. Give him all the money. I'm curious if there's any of these teams that jump out at you, and also if the schedule has kind of hidden them. I teased it talking about the Kings. The Kings are currently the 8th seed in the West, 14-17, and they've actually played 5 more road games than home games. Like they're 7-6 at home, 7-11 on the road. That's a team that could even jump up high in the standings.
Aren't you worried about your Boogie Cousins shade, the 33 game man?
I think he's going to come at me. No, it looks like they have a chance to go well over 33 games. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the Nuggets are kind of rounding back into form. And again, what in the world? Why in the world did they start Yusuf Nurkic for the first 25 games? They put themselves in this huge hole. They finally started playing their good players, and now they're respectable. They still, you know, I think they blew that game on Christmas Eve to the Hawks in unbelievable fashion.
Well, that brings us to John's, Chuck's, turkey bacon conspiracy of the week.
Oh, the turkey bacon conspiracy?
Oh, yes.
What is it?
So, Matches Malone, the coach for the Denver Nuggets. Not many people know that. Matches Malone is also the nom de plume of Batman when he goes undercover.
Oh.
Ooh.
And so he's been using his like caped crusadery powers to rope-a-dope us all. And now he's finally unleashed the Jokic. I also have a backup conspiracy. Yusuf Nurkic's super cop giant father.
7 foot, 400 pound father.
Who can beat up 12 men at once. Went full Suge Knight and held Matches Malone upside down outside of a hotel window until he agreed to play Yusuf for the first 25 games.
Well, this is what I think.
What's your theory?
Here's the real conspiracy theory.
Nurkic is a cyber terrorist who hacked Malone's email and needed to be in the starting lineup in order to exact his plan, which to undermine the U.S. Electoral system.
Aha!
By creating false news on websites. But he had to be in the starting lineup.
I do love the trope of the hacker who is a gigantic muscular man.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I still...
Black hat.
Who would... Yeah. Well, first, that's how he got into the NBA.
Doing push-ups in prison.
Yeah, he was... he hacked the Chad Ford's draft stock list.
Totally believable.
And got himself moved up. He's humongous, but can't play basketball, so he has to be here for a reason, and that is to get Trump the presidency.
I have my theory. I think maybe Stan Kroenke of the Nuggets says, hey, you know what? I've got this plan. I want to trade. Let's trade this guy. I want to get rid of him.
Okay.
So let's start him.
Okay. And so this isn't so much a conspiracy theory. This is what you think is actually happening.
No, there's no. I mean, I think there was some machinations behind the scene.
Right.
Of, you know, Malone's like, no, we'll just use him on our normal rotation. It'll be better this way. They're like, no. We need you to, I want you to start him because I've overextended my empire with my dad buying these Premier League team.
That's right.
So he's like, you know, we need to turn these assets. We need to get this Nuggets jump started. Maybe we can trade. This will be a good asset for us. I'm trying to make a conspiracy.
I understand.
Here's my next second.
Stick to Game of Scones, dog.
Here's my next conspiracy. Nurkic said, I'll beat you up if you don't play me.
I think I know why Malone does it. Nikola Jokic rules, right? We all agree he rules. Mm-hmm. Like, he's incredible when he plays. Also, takes some of the dumbest fouls you'll ever see, and coaches hate that stuff.
He is. Well, that's the funny part. That's true. The Jokic stopped fouling people in the backcourt after rebounds for no reason.
Mm-hmm. I probably watched 10 Nuggets games this year. In five of them, at least five of them, committed a foul in the first minute when he got within coming in.
Yeah.
Like, usually within the first 20 seconds. And when you see Malone's face when he does that, you're like, oh, that's why he doesn't start.
But the weird part is, so now that Nurkic is on the bench, Malone doesn't even put Nurkic in anymore.
Yeah.
Period. So now it's like he's playing Wilson Chandler at the five.
I like that.
That's kind of weird. And then and then the Fareed at the five. Anyway, but we got off on that little Nugget sidetrack.
Talk that Nugget talk. Mm. Dank Nugs.
Again, looking at the teams in the West who are good, the Warriors, Spurs, and Rockets who are killing it,
right?
They've actually played significantly more road games than home games. So they might even be even kind of better than we were thinking. But then like the Thunder and the Grizzlies have all played a lot more home than road. So I'm curious like what's going to shake out, and especially in the East. Like, the Wizards...
What is happening to the Pistons?
Yeah, like the Pistons are falling off a cliff. Like, I mean, who's best between the Pacers, the Pistons, the Knicks, the Hawks? It's all kind of, I know what the records say, but I can't figure, for the life of me, cannot figure these teams out.
The Hawks are very confusing. I don't think Millsap and Howard can coexist at all. We talked about Schroeder earlier. Awful. I mean, Bazemore is terrible this year.
Bazemore got paid and it's awful. They can't hit a three.
Nope.
They're one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league, like they were last year. We thought last year was an aberration.
The feel-good story of the Hawks right now is Thabo Sefolosha.
Yeah.
Well, at least that's bad. He got that NYPD settlement check.
He got that settlement check, and I think he's like defensive plus-minus, one of the best.
I mean, he's like, every time I look at his box score, he's got three blocks and three steals. It's
and Tim Hardaway Jr. seems like he's kind of good, which maybe that's a bad sign.
When I love Tim Hardaway. I don't know. Senior. But who cares about his son?
I think the ye old three-point specialist Buffy the Vampire Slayer Vampire is like last on their bench now too.
Yeah,
like
Korver.
Korver does not play really anymore.
So. I mean, he's just old and his body's done. You know, he's been in the league for like 37 years. Maybe a lot of people don't know.
Putting
that.
Garlic on his jersey.
He's not aging at all. Yeah, I don't know, the Pistons not playing well. That's weird. The Wizards 7-3 in their last 10. Seem to be catching a good little bit of wind. But yeah, that bottom, the muck.
Everyone above the Heat has a chance to playoffs.
Well, I'm saying.
The weird thing is, I also see the Heat playing, they play so many close games.
They do.
It's
and
like
they
they're
don't
in hit, all these games.
And they don't hit any free throws. They're almost dead last in free throw percentage in the league.
Don't worry, Hassan said he's going to work on it.
Well, if he gets that, then his 2K rating will skyrocket.
Do you guys think I kind of keep thinking the Hornets are in the top like four pack, but they've dropped a couple weird games.
But they're only three games above the Pistons.
Do you think the Knicks are better than these teams? Or are they going to fall back? Is it just all
I don't think the Knicks are better than the Hornets.
I
think the Hornets are still definitely better. But when I think about the Knicks and then the Hawks and then the Bulls and the Bucks,
I mean, it kind of just depends on how the Knicks.
Wizards, it's crazy.
The Knicks have played a bunch more home games than away games.
Yeah, right. And the Knicks are good at home.
Yeah, it's hard to beat.
Well, that's the fun part. The garden of like that. all these Eastern Conference teams are like 500 on the road, and then they're evenly balanced. Yeah. Where it's all, I want to say it's kind of fun. I feel like if those all these East teams we talked about, and even Orlando, which I didn't throw in this conversation, they're starting to win some games. I feel like most of these teams, it's just, they're completely even. It's just the random bounce
they're all
of the night.
Same, they're all the same mediocre nonsense.
Who stayed out later the night before?
Really? It's about, like, we need to have people. That's the only way you're going to get any gambling advantages. It's just a.
Please tell me about these advantages.
I have friends who are out in Miami. Whenever they're playing there, they can be able to give you an insight who stayed at Live on Sunday till 4:45.
Well, you call Turtle or whatever you're going to, whatever his
name
is.
Jay Holla.
There we go. You call Jay Holla and you give him my numbers. I need an edge.
We need to get something.
I can't keep betting on the Lakers.
The Lakers have, they've also a team that has confounded me.
They're just confusing.
Because in the Patreon only power polls that I put up.
They've fallen three spots every time.
I have a rule that I only move teams a maximum of three spots every week. So it makes some interesting math, some hard things to do. Literally, the Lakers have started the year for me at 27. They went up by three every week to 15, and now they fall on three every week. Like, so they're the only team that's like it's a perfect,
like a
parabolic, just yeah.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful, but I
sine, cosine.
They're now back down to the 27th team in the league for me. Like, they just seem, whatever magic Uncle Luke was, Uncle Luke's feel good.
We can't call him Uncle Luke.
Magic. No.
No, it's Two Live Crew. That's Uncle Luke. We'll call him Cousin Luke.
We'll call him Luke from the movie Mask. Right, we'll call him Rocky Dennis. That's what we'll call him.
Uncle Luke is a holy name in Miami.
It is a holy name.
He's the
band in the USA.
You'll be shocked to know that I do.
You have no idea who Two Live Crew is?
No, I know who Two Live Crew is. And I know
Luke
I know
Campbell.
Who Luke is.
Luke is the lead singer. Luke Skywalker.
Is he the guy who said he was at a Trump party once and left because it was too uncomfortable?
Yeah, he said
like, it was too gross. He's like, things I do not approve of were going on. And I had
right.
To
this is a man who has songs with the word put in the title, probably 80% of his records. So yeah, guy.
He's like, I did not like how they were treating women.
No,
party.
Yeah,
I had to get out of there.
Yeah. They were grabbing them by their. What Chuck said. We have to talk about the Trailblazers. I think.
Yeah, talk about the Trailblazers, John.
They're one of the worst teams.
1-9 in the last 10.
They're the only. They are in the last 10 games. They're the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah.
Maybe the Lakers are worse.
No, Lakers won two of their last 10.
The Lakers beat the Sixers, and then
they were lucky enough to face the starless Clippers.
Griffin and Paulus.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
Redick-less. A win is a win, to quote Swaggy P.
I guess because of some residual hangover from last year of feeling good about the Blazers, I still feel like I would take them in a series against like the Knicks. Even though the Knicks have a much better record.
No.
But it's just, they're so bad. They can't win a game. They can't defend anybody.
Yeah, it's the defensive.
I feel like their big guys have all lost any mojo they might have had.
Some of the signings like Crabbe have been revealed to be poor.
Well, I mean, even the signings that we thought were like, I guess that's okay. I hated the Myers Leonard signing. I was like,
who cares about him?
But he's getting paid $10 million a year for three more years after this.
He's not worth Boogie's mouthpiece at all.
That was sad. I will say
the refs basically said, you can spit your mouthpiece at Myers Leonard.
Yeah, that made me feel uncomfortable. Like, no, you should not be allowed to spit in someone's face.
Do you remember a couple weeks? I don't know if it was a week or two ago when the announcer at one of the arenas where the Portland was playing on the road mispronounced his name twice over the.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He yelled out loud.
What did he say?
I can't remember.
I think it was like Miles Leonard.
Yeah, he said Miles. I think you're right.
Called
Miles Plumlee.
Miles Leonard, and then that's like the third time it happened. Leonard went, "It's Myers!" Like yelled it at the top of his lungs.
Here's the thing, because he's a guy. Like I now have this could be another breakfast in bed apology. I now have regret. Like, I feel bad about myself as a person. Because, like, when I first saw Myers Leonard, I hated him.
Why just wouldn't you?
Based on his appearance, like look at that, that punchable face.
He looks like an Abercrombie model.
He's like an Abercrombie model. Like
that's how I feel about Kelly Olynyk.
I see him tweeting stuff about like his dumb dog. He has a husky. He wanted his husky to be in his wedding, and I'm like, I hate you. Like, I hate who
piece
you
are. Of crap.
I saw him walking around in Vegas and like with the salmon colored shorts on. I'm like, oh, you're such a bro. But now that he's being bullied by arena announcers and getting spat at, I don't feel bad. Like, oh,
I don't.
Like
right.
I contributed to bullying this guy.
He's a millionaire, good-looking, humongous person.
Who's getting beat upon?
I don't mind at all. He's winning in life in general. That's why I can't feel bad for him.
Yeah, I guess I'm being a little.
I guess in the NBA we can think he's one of the losers, but if you're a loser in the NBA, hey, you're better than everyone on our block.
You can end up like Robert Swift or Jamal Anderson.
Yeah, I feel bad whenever making fun of Robert Swift.
Some of these stories end poorly, Chuck.
Dirty Bird.
Money doesn't solve everything.
It's true.
All right, well, let's move on to the awards segment of the program, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes. I had one prepared for last Thursday.
This is the reverse Big Cat, who made every shot.
Yeah, Big Cat made every shot, as did Dwight Howard, although Dwight's were all dunks.
I felt like Aaron Gordon almost made every shot against the Grizzlies last night.
He was on fire.
From the three, small forward.
Best small
Aaron
forward
Gordon.
In the league.
Yeah.
But it ended up that there wasn't even that many. Even the extended break didn't give us that many more awesome. So this is a 12-day International Stackhouse of Pancakes. We have a few honorable mentions. Emmanuel Mudiay, 0 for 9. Mirza Teletovic, 0 for 9. Jahlil Okafor, 0 for 9. I could have sworn he was 0 for 10. They might have gone back and fixed a shot attempt. But anyway, we have...
Love how Keith will notice one one missed shot that he thought was one.
0 for double digits is like, oh,
that's
wow.
A big deal.
And then, but then an 0 for 9, I'm like, oh, that's not quite.
We should have like automatic nomination for 0 for double digits.
Right.
It's like you're in no matter what.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's it. I agree. We have three nominees. One, in a loss to the Utah Jazz, Mark the Shark.
Oh, Lord.
I knew it was coming.
4 for 22.
Ew.
He did hit his last shot.
Keep shooting, Mark.
It was 3 for 21. 4 for 22, 8 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, 3 turnovers.
He's going to need a bigger hoop.
Smaller ball, maybe.
In a loss to the Utah Jazz, it's the same game. Mike Conley, 3 for 16.
Oh.
14 points, 4 assists, no rebounds, and a steal. No turnovers, though. That's pretty good. So Mark was 4 for 22. Mike was 3 for 16. And then in a loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, Marcus Morris.
Oh, this one's glorious.
1 for 11. However, 12 points. That's a.
You sure it's not Markeith?
I'm not.
This sucks, and I abstain.
Well, we can't go with Conley because he didn't shoot as poorly as Mark in the same game.
This is a disaster and trash.
We have to go with the man that is currently on the wall here in the baby dungeon. We have a 7-foot-tall poster of Mark the Shark, unequivocally the worst stat line of the week. Of 2 weeks now.
Can you look again? Is there anything worse?
No. This is one of those error fills.
He can't join this pantheon.
Yes.
There were only 91 results that for my basketball reference filter, so there wasn't a second page hiding somewhere.
No.
Yeah, yeah. No, Mark Gasol.
Marky.
I'm not voting it.
Marky Mark and the shitty bunch. That's what that was.
John, not voting is
Marcus
just
Morris.
As bad
I'm
as
voting Marcus Morris.
You can't.
Third-party candidate.
No, third-party
candidate. Green Party candidate.
John
Marcus
is a
Morris.
Faithless elector. That's what he is.
So, yeah, it's Mark Gasol.
No, I mean, hands down. Can't do it.
I'm no longer doing
it. Hey, now for,
epilogue.
Now for a bonus. This day in iShop history.
Oh, yeah. I like this.
This day in iShop history in 1991.
Ooh.
We were recording this on Tuesday, December 27th. In 1991...
Marcus
this man
was born.
Went 0 for 17 in a victory.
Wow.
We mentioned him earlier.
No.
Tim Hardaway Sr.
Really?
For, in a game
he's
against,
got skills.
In a no, game against the lowly Timberwolves for the Golden State Warriors, Tim Hardaway went 0 for 17, had 2 points, 13 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 turnovers.
Well, here's the thing.
So that.
What they don't mention in the stat line is how many ankles he broke.
Mm-hmm.
Broke a lot.
Probably broke mad ankles. 13 assists, though, even if you don't
or how many anti-homosexual slurs he bandied about.
Which he would immediately apologize for.
When confronted with the issue by his employers.
Right, yeah. And told that he would no longer have a job.
0-17, impressive. That was this day in international Stackhouse of Pancakes history. Mm. All right, before we get to our Grizzlies epilogue, par fadeaway, what are we looking forward to?
Thank God there's late night West Coast basketball on New Year's Day to save me from all the money that I'm going to lose on those college bowl games. That is all.
I do like that we're past the holiday breaks of NBA games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not having games on a day is weird. I know we're going to have the All-Star break, obviously, in which I will gorge myself on movies and Netflix shows.
Yeah. What are we supposed to do?
Here's mine. I'm looking forward to December 30th. Knicks at Pelicans. See the brow and the zaps.
It's going to be a low-rated basketball game.
It's super low-rated. But I think seeing two of the premier NBA big men go after it.
Unicorns is the term everyone's throwing around.
Yeah,
now.
That's I read that article.
Like Simmons
there.
Did one and somebody else wrote some other one.
Yeah, Simmons called. Basically, he thinks there's only three true NBA, wow, these guys may not ever come around again players. And it's Giannis.
Don't even try.
KP. And is it Big Cat?
I didn't read the article.
I did. It was pretty good. No, it was Embiid. So it was Embiid. Basically, he said Embiid was what if Dikembe Mutombo sacrificed 25% of his defensive ceiling to be a great offensive player.
Why didn't he just compare him to Hakeem Olajuwon and be done with it?
That's basically what he is. And then there's no, he says there's no analog for, I didn't finish the whole article, so I'm not sure who he picked. But there's no analog for Giannis. Giannis is if Scottie Pippen kept growing to 6'11". And then, KP is if Dirk could defend the rim and was a little mean.
Is Stapp going to be better than Dirk Nowitzki?
I mean, he pulled the numbers up.
That's a great question.
He pulled his numbers up in his 20, because
I don't want
Porzingis
you to read that article to me anymore.
He's 21 and in the same year with the comparable season for Dirk, he's playing significantly better.
He's definitely better earlier.
He's worse
but
3
Dirk,
point
you
shooting.
You know, Dirk's like a Hall of Famer. You know, do you think Stapp keeps it up? I guess.
I mean, what if Stapp got with a system or a coach that featured him?
Wow.
Whoa.
If we had a
mind
office
blown.
That knew anything what they were doing.
I'll tell you who's a unicorn. That's Tony Allen. I'm not seeing a Tony Allen again.
No.
Better finisher than Dennis Schroeder.
And all-star Isaiah Thomas. My par fadeaway is a Memphis Grizzlies watch party for those of you in Nashville, Tennessee.
Hello. Shout out.
It's coming in a few weeks. Trying to give you the heads up. January 18th for our listeners anywhere near Nashville.
The suddenly surging Wizards.
At Edley's East against the Washington Wizards. So
we should have that
on a Wednesday.
It's on a Wednesday.
Ooh, they have $5 mudslides. Mm. Is it mudslides or
Bushwhackers?
Bushwhackers. Sorry,
we're gonna have that whole porch. That's
gonna have a big old porch
heated
going.
Up.
It's like an indoor porch. If that makes sense.
An indoor outdoor porch that we couldn't secure last time, but this
we'll
time
have swag
to ourselves. We'll be able to curse,
and I'll be drunk.
It'll be good. All right, so we will go to the Grizzlies epilogue. The rest of you guys who don't want any more Grizzlies knowledge, you could sign off now. Thanks for you guys. Those of you who bought some Fast Break Breakfast shirts for the Christmas holidays, we appreciate that. You guys can go to fastbreakbreakfastpodcast.com or joeycrawford.tech. Takes you to the same place. like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Fast Break Break. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. The Grizzlies are still confounding. We're recording this.
I can fix this team.
Tell us.
Go ahead, Tom.
So everyone's getting mad that since Mike Conley is back that we suck.
Although we won some impressive games.
Yes, we did. But we always beat the Rockets.
Beating the Rockets and beating this.
Have the Grizzlies ever lost the Rockets?
Never. It's they're undefeated in the history of the franchise.
It's like the duelists. They'll do this through time. And Harvey Keitel always dies. The Rockets always die. I think the only problem we're having, and I think this will go away, is Conley is taking too long at the beginning of possessions.
Uh-huh.
There's too much dribbling and assessing and stuff like that. He needs to make decisions quicker, or, and this is simple, just give it to Marc Gasol immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like the ball is sticking a little bit on offense.
I agree.
I don't know how much that is. I don't know how much that is Conley. I don't
know Harrison just dribbles up and immediately gives it to Mark out of fear.
Right. It's still funny that Adrian Harrison is shooting, what, 26%.
Man, he's good at everything except for offense.
He's not even, he's kind of, Peter Edmondson was telling me, and I think I agree with him, that he like looks better at defense than he actually is at defense.
Yeah, because he overplays a lot.
Yeah, and he gets beat bad, and he's missing rotations and going under. But he is that oversized guard, so you assume he's doing better. He's also, Jermichael Green and him are 1-2 in fouls in the NBA.
Mm.
Way to go, guys.
Did not know that.
Here's the thing.
Super embarrassed.
Here is the very, the hardcore confounding thing about the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have, if you told me Jermichael Green and Andrew Harrison were first and second in the NBA in fouls, I would be like, oh, this season is going terribly. Because that means they're playing a lot. The Grizzlies are last in the NBA in field goal percentage.
Right.
They are the worst in their entire franchise's history. And this is a franchise that has had lots of 60 loss seasons.
It's a confounding season.
Yet.
Still got a good
record.
There's
7 games over 500.
Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
So
what is it?
I mean, it's obviously the defense.
The percentage going to catch up to the record,
it's the eye shot winner, Marcus.
Yeah.
So that is the question, because when I see them at this quote unquote full strength, not counting Vince Carter, like the second unit lineup, I think looks awful.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're good. They defend well.
What's that crazy defensive lineup?
The Jarrell?
Oh,
no. There was a defensive lineup that it was like. There was some lineup with Jarrell Martin and Andrew Harrison that was like really good at defense. And it's like those guys are awful at basketball. Yeah. And with Troy Daniels. It was Andrew Harrison, Troy Daniels, Jarrell Martin.
Troy Daniels doesn't play defense.
Yeah. No, but now they're like sort of back to full strength and they have this lineup with Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, Jarrell Martin, front court. To me, that looks atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think James Ennis is playing really well, but I don't get it. And they are losing some games and like losing to the Magic on Monday night. Before you hear this, or I'm not sure, and I'll put this up, they're playing the Celtics on Tuesday night, which could be another rough game. Although, as we've noticed, the Grizzlies are 8-0 on second nights of back-to-backs. So I
can't, call your bookies.
As I said in the Grizzlies talk with Peter Edmondson, I'm confounded. I can't. They've already won more games than I thought they would. Again, I put them at 7 wins through the end of January, starting with that Portland game.
Yeah.
So I think we're at 4 now. 4 or 5? We're at 4 or 5 wins since then.
Hey.
So things are going great. But I
just got to sit back, relax, and watch the only potential Grizzlies MVP candidate, league MVP candidate we've ever had.
Tony Allen.
It is. I think what you say, there's truth to it, John. I don't try to be that. Like we're more entertainers than analysts. We don't break down stuff much.
Mm-hmm.
I watch these Grizzlies games. I just let it wash over me.
Actually, I can break down this team if you want me to. They're going to lose in the playoffs.
Mm. That's insight.
There's my super analysis.
Sign a contract with ESPN.
It's gonna catch up to him, guys.
Yeah.
So I mean,
considering the fact that two of the players that I thought would, you know, as an outside fan, not someone who's immersed in the culture as you two, I thought Brendan Wright and Chandler Parsons would be a major role-playing
Instead,
duo.
It's yet another Dallas Mavericks poison pill.
Yeah. It's
Manchurian Candidate.
Mark Cuban.
MK Ultra sleeper agent.
And Deontay Davis is down with a torn plantar fascia.
But big picture.
The only injury I've ever had.
Big picture. The young guys are getting tick, which helps their development and lets you know whether or not they're worth anything by the end of the season.
Right.
You've got the actual development happening of players. Some players are getting better. Troy Daniels looks like a legit NBA shooting guard.
Troy Daniels so much. He is an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, he's 9 years younger than Tony Allen and is probably going to
He's the offensive equivalent of Tony Allen. He will shoot from anywhere.
He's a guy who can only get it going if he's only on the court with trash players.
Yes.
And it's all run for him.
He dominates.
He's
kind of
like
trash.
Me in pickup. Like if I play with good players, just set picks, just rebound, I can't hit a shot. If I play with bad players, like, oh, I can start making stuff because they need me to, and I'll shoot a lot. It'll be okay.
But
I can't transfer
trash.
That shooting ability to playing with good players.
Uh-huh.
It's like one or the other. Like,
you've got good and bad happening. The fact that Mike's back, you get the little gel happening. Maybe they'll have some success and then eventually lose in the playoffs.
Yep. This has been my favorite Grizzly season by far.
Last year. Get out of here.
That's insane.
No.
What?
What do you mean?
Winning all these close games, Mark shooting threes.
I liked it back when they were like
basketball furies.
They won 80% of their basketball games like 3 years ago when Mike, Mark, and Zach played.
No, this is my favorite. Man. I love Z-Bo against the second unit. It makes me laugh every time because it's like I'll watch my buddies watch this. Z-Bo's about to score 10 straight points.
I will say that their bad shooting, I do think it's going to get better in some ways.
Has to get better.
However, they shoot all garbage jumpers.
Yeah.
They don't get any
contested
points.
Long twos.
Like they get sub breakout layups.
Yeah.
Mark is posting, but then they shoot so many mid-range jumpers. Jermichael Green is not good at shooting, even though he should be. He is good. I think Jermichael Green is the curious guy where he's got good hands. He's a good defender.
He needs to figure it out.
But his offense is such a drag. But it seems like his defense is such a big part of it that he might be indispensable to what they're doing. Yeah. I don't really know.
And I really like Z-Bo coming off the bench a lot. And I love that he seems to like it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Again,
they're so much better when Z-Bo and Mark don't play together. They're so much better.
Fizdale buy-in. And again, they're one of the 10 NBA teams that's like well over, looks like they're going to get the playoffs for
I
sure.
I love Fizdale. I'm so glad we got him from that.
So my
team.
Prediction moving forward is their field goal percentage will tick up.
Yeah,
they're going to start hitting better shots. They'll be playing up on the road, and it's all going. They're going to be the exact same team.
I just
they're going to lose the exact same amount of.
Doesn't matter what.
Right.
Just give me the Rockets in the playoffs. All right.
I would say
give me the Rockets in the playoffs.
It's like the different timeline. It's like the Terminator time travel rules.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, you're going to end up in the same place.
Right.
Yeah.
That's our Grizzlies.
Skynet.
The man with the demon. Skynet has it.
All right. It'll like Arnold. It'll catch up to you.
Demon with a glass hand. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, thanks you guys for listening to the Grizzlies epilogue. You guys are the best.
Arrive safely.